Take your Bibles, please. Open the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew chapter 5, page 1000 in your Scofield Bible. Page 1000. Be reading two verses, the 23rd and the 24th verses. We'll read those responsively. Likewise, the 43rd through the 48th verses also responsively. As we always do, let's please stand for the reading of the Word of God. First we'll read verse 23 and 24 responsively. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Now verses 43, first through verse 48. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Open our hearts, our minds, help us to be attentive. We pray that thou wast blessed indeed, our preacher. And we have the faithfulness of thy attendance with us, thy promise to be where two or three are gathered in thy name. And certainly you're here. And please, once again, meet with us in a great demonstration of thy power and blessing as we once again open the book and as we once again listen to the man of God. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I have had for 50 years, let's see now, 52 years, I have had a motto for my ministry. And that motto has been, I will not use my people to build my work, but I will use my work to build my people. You're not a tool to build a big church here. This church is a tool to build you. I would rather have a grown Christian than a grown church. I would rather have growing Christians than a growing church. And tonight, I fear that it's so easy for us here in this place of blessing, it's so easy for us to become satisfied with the growth of an institution rather than the growth of the individual. Tonight I want to speak on the subject, it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. I'm going to take a few minutes to teach, then I want to pray, then I'll speak for a while. And I've re-outlined this sermon five times. I never have been satisfied with the outline. I'm not satisfied with it now. But I'm satisfied with the truth I'm going to preach, and how organized it's going to be, I don't know. But sometimes a disorganized sermon's better for a group of disorganized people. And I hope you listen carefully. The scripture text, and I'll ask you not to turn to it, but the scripture text for the Post and Letters and reading a while ago close with that very famous Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect. Now that, well, listen to me, young folks. A little group back here been talking too much tonight. You need what I'm going to say, and you're going to get it. Be ye therefore perfect. The word perfect there could be also translated mature. Be ye therefore grown, if you please, mature Christians. Now, sometimes we do not associate that verse with its context. Right before that, the Lord has said, love your enemies. Are you listening to me? That means that loving your enemies is a part of being a mature Christian. Then he goes on to say, bless them that curse you. Now, this is a part of the context of be you therefore perfect, or be you therefore mature, or be you therefore grown, to love your enemies, and bless those that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. He goes on to say, if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect. Now don't miss it now. Be ye therefore perfect. This little line of becoming mature or perfect follows loving those that hate you, praying for those that despitefully use you, blessing those that curse you. This is a part of growing up and a part of the mature child of God. The Apostle Paul wrote a bunch of baby Christians in 1 Corinthians and said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. Let me tell you what's easy to do, and I hope you'll not leave me. What's easy to do? It's easy in a work like this for you to get lost in this great work and associate becoming a good Christian with being a member of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I mean, just because you remember this church doesn't make you any better Christian if you went to another church out in Lee Todd, California somewhere. And so I want to talk tonight to you about your growing up. Again, the Apostle Paul, I think he wrote Hebrews. He writes to the Hebrew Christians and says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. There's that word again. On unto maturity. On unto adulthood, it says. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Excuse me. So the apostle is simply saying here, it's time that you grow up, you Hebrew Christians, and he said to the people at Corinth, it's time that you likewise grew up. Tonight, I'm going to take not long, I'm going to give you a graduate study in Christianity. Beyond the grade school, beyond the high school, beyond the college level of spirituality, I'm going to give you a graduate study, and I'm going to have you decide tonight how mature that you are. Father, help me as I speak. I want to be a blessing, and I pray you'd help me so. And tonight, help us to get the idea of what mature Christianity is really all about. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most marvelous things about this book is the way it leads us to deal with strife. The Bible says that when there is strife between two Christians, that the offended, get this now, the offended is to seek reconciliation with the offender. Now, I couldn't understand that for a long time. But it says that the person who is right is to seek reconciliation to the person who is wrong. Matthew 5:23 says that. Says, before you bring your gift to the altar, go, if thy brother hath aught against thee. Didn't say if you have aught against your brother. It says if thy brother hath aught against thee, you, the one who's innocent, you, the one who's offended, you, the one who's right, go and be reconciled to thy brother. Now, it's not saying don't tire to get right with God. Please don't get that in mind. The Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver, but I love any old grouch that'll put it in collection plate. So, it's not talking about an offering here of monetary means. Is talking about the offering of the sacrifice of the lamb, if you please, the burnt offering, if you please. And God said, before you bring your gift to the altar, if thy brother hath aught against thee, go and be reconciled to thy brother, and then bring thy gift to the altar. So it hit me that the offender is to be reconciled to the to the one who is, I'm sorry, the offended is to seek reconciliation from the offender, and the offender is the weaker Christian. Now, the honest truth is, if a strong Christian like Brother Colston is having strife with some weak Christian, Brother Colston is the stronger Christian, and he's the one more likely to seek reconciliation than the weaker Christian. So God, knowing that the one who is the offender, the one who is the guilty one, the one who is the attacker, if you please, God knows that he's not gonna, normally he's not the one that's gonna seek reconciliation. So if there is any reconciliation, Brother Colston's gonna have to go to the person who has offended him or has attacked him. Now you listen to me carefully, ladies and gentlemen. It's time many of us grew up. Well, if he will come and if he'll apologize, I'll apologize. You are still in kindergarten. You're still in the blueback speller. You're still in the first grade. You're still in your ABCs. Mature Christianity is when you are right and are wronged by someone who's guilty, you are to seek reconciliation then. But you say, Brother Howe, that just doesn't make sense. Doesn't have to make sense. It's in the Bible, and the Bible says you're to seek reconciliation then. Now, there's no need for God's people to be on the outs with each other. By the way, I practice this with my preacher brethren, just like I expect you to practice with your lay brethren and sisters. I practice it, and I expect you to practice it. Listen, you're not grown because you go to First Baptist Church of Hammond. Here is a sign of spiritual maturity, and that sign is if your brother hath aught against you, you go seek to be reconciled to your brother and then bring your gift to the altar. That's the first principle of Christian maturity. Now, the second one is also a marvelous truth in this book, and that's the way the Bible deals with comfort. Don't miss this. The one who has the larger burden comforts the one who has the lesser burden. That's the Bible principle. The one who has the larger burden comforts the one who has the lesser burden. You know, I used to rebel somewhat against that. In my counseling, folks would come to my office and then have a little problem, and it wasn't near as big as mine. And for example, if some pastor with 200 members comes to me and tells me he is swamped. Happens all the time. With 200 members, my soul. I got 90 some odd deacons. We got 90 some odd. About a dozen some odd people in the choir, and then some normal ones the rest of the way. But we have probably about 90 folks in the choir and about 90 deacons, and we probably have 90 or 100 or more ushers. And here's the guy comes to me with 200 members and said, "Brother, and by the way, here's my video with Jack. They'll say, I need an assistant pastor." Listen, if you have 200 members and you need an assistant pastor, your church doesn't have a pastor. I mean, very idea of a guy with 200, and people come to me last Sunday night. A guy came to me and he said, "Brother House, I have an offer of you, an assistant pastor." And I said, "What size is the church?" He said, 35. 35. And the poor fellow's worked to death. And I want to take that guy that comes and says he is swamped, and I want to take him on a trip and show him something. I want to take him to Howells Anderson College and show him that I've got to keep that thing going out there. I want to take him to this great First Baptist Church here and let him know I've got to keep this thing going here. I've got to see to it that $45,000 every day. No, I didn't say every week. No, I didn't say every Sunday. I said every day $45,000 has got to come in. I want to take him to Hammond Baptist Grade School and show him I've got to keep that thing going with hundreds of students there. I want to take him to Hammond Baptist Junior High School and show him I got to keep that thing going there. I want to take him to Hammond Baptist High School and show him I got to keep that thing going there. I want to take him to City Baptist Grade School about a block and a half down and show him I got to keep that thing going there. I want to take him to Hammond Baptist, City Baptist High School down on Holman Avenue and show him how I got to keep that thing going there. I want to take him to the cemetery and the mausoleum and show him how that's got to be kept going. Now, I want to take him to the business of our church and the sermon preparation and all the counsel. I counsel with more people a week than some of these guys have church members that are swamped to death. I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. Get off of it and get up and get to work and it bothers me. These preachers have to play golf on Sunday. Well, Monday, I'm sorry. on Monday so they can get over the nervousness of having preached on the peace of God on Sunday. Now, honest truth is, I want to kick them in the seat of the britches. Now don't misunderstand me. But that bothered me. Now, I'm going to get to this in a minute. For example, a college student. I get this, a college student. 20, 18, 19, 20 years old. I mean, the body is almost unused. Got about 14 miles on it. And this college student comes to me in the office and says, he's tired all the time. And some of these dumb names you doctors give to this these illnesses, it's the lazy bone syndrome and the sluggard syndrome and all that. And I want to say to that college student, you stinking kid, wait till you get 73 years old, and wait till you got a heart condition, and wait till when you walk, to get up is not getting up in the morning. I'm raised from the dead every morning. And I want to say, you stinking kid. Let me say a word here. Listen, young folks, hey, listen to me. I got something to tell you. You are in court, go outside in court. You're in church, you hear me. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, the honest truth is, that bothered me. It bothered me for these young kid preachers to come to me and tell me how tired they are, and these young college students come and say, I am just so weary. But now, wait a minute. That's scriptural. It is scriptural for the seasoned Christian who is more weary to comfort the baby Christian who's less weary. Now that bothered me, just like it bothered me. For me, when somebody does something against me, I'm to go seek reconciliation. Now follow me carefully. Here's why. He has not been where I am. He has not borne the load that I bear. He can't help me. But I've been where he is. I have run 200 in Sunday school. I've been a college student with flunking syndrome, absentee syndrome, oversleeping syndrome, and all that. And by the way, that's S-I-N-D-R-O-N-E somehow. But I've been there. So since he has not been where I am and I have been where he is, I can comfort him, and I'm supposed to. That's Bible. Now then, I have been where he is. I have borne his load. Every pastor I help, get this now, every pastor I help has less problems than I have. But I'm supposed to help them. The load that I have to carry has made me stronger so I can help him. For I've been where he is. Now, what I want to do, I want to kick him in the pants and say, get out of here, you stinking rascal. Get out of here. But that's not what I'm supposed to do. The Bible says that the stronger is supposed to help the weak. He, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not the doubtful disputation. So tonight, I ask the question, are you growing, are you grown? Be ye therefore perfect. Be ye therefore mature. Be ye therefore grown up, if you please. Well, how can I be grown? If I am the offended and the wronged, and I seek reconciliation to those who have wronged me, that's the sign of my spiritual maturity. If I, who have more burdens than the others do, help carry the load and share the burden and comfort those who have less burdens than I, then I'm becoming a mature Christian. By the way, God promises to give me help if I help others. And he is perhaps the only one who's been through more than I have as far as churches are concerned. And so what? But let me tell you, God said to me, he said to me, I'll help you if you'll help somebody else. Now, is it not true that Jesus Christ is to comfort us? Said, my little children, these things write I unto you, and sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That word advocate is the word comforter. So Jesus is to comfort me. He who went to Calvary is to comfort me. He who suffered in Gethsemane and sweat, his perspiration was like drops of blood, is to comfort me. He who was beaten beyond human recognition is to comfort me. Now, if I am like him, I am to be willing to comfort those who have smaller burdens than I have. I wrote a poem about that. It's rather lengthy, but I'm going to read it to you because I want you to hear it. One day the load was especially heavy and a burden for many. And I had so many appointments that night. And to be quite frank, I rebelled a little bit because I felt that I had heavier burdens and problems than those with whom I counseled. I counseled from 6 o'clock at night till almost midnight, one after the other. And my heart was broken. My heart was heavy. I had burdens, heartaches, and problems. And I sort of rebelled a little bit that why can't I tell you what's my problem? And so one of these days when you come in the office, I'm going to let you have it. You're going to come in, and I'm not going to ask you what your problem is. I'm going to say, sister, one night I got home from a trip about 2 o'clock in the morning. Ms. Howell sat up in bed and said, wake up. And I said, why? She said, because you're going to listen to me. Well, I've learned to respect and obey higher powers. And so she said, you're going to listen to me. And she said, now, I got some things that happened while you're gone, and you're going to listen to me. You pastor everybody else, you're going to pastor me. Now, I'm going to say that one of these days. I'm going to say that you and you come in, and I'm going to say, sit still. I don't give a flip what your problem is. I'm going to tell you mine. Because sometimes mine is bigger than yours. Listen to my point. I have a burden, Pastor, that I'd like to lay on you. I listened, though he never knew I had a burden too. I took a tearful look toward mine. Then his came into view. 'Twas plain to see my burden was the larger of the two. I saw his load alongside mine, and though they both were real, the yoke he bore was made of wood, and mine was made of steel. To him I said, come unto me, I'll gladly carry thine. Then whispered unto selfishness, but who will carry mine? I softly laid my burden down to help him his to bear, while knowing that my heavy load I'm not allowed to share. I'll help him with his burden, then regain mine after a while, when I will sigh and weep once more, while now I force a smile. I felt the chains of bondage till a captive came to me. He bade me help him break the bands and aid him to be free. I saw the fetters binding him and felt a pity pain, for his were made of little rope and mine of heavy chain. I laid aside my heavy chain so he my help could borrow. I'll help him free his bondage now and think of mine tomorrow. A doubter knocked at study door. I had an urge to groan. Why bring your pebble doubt to me when mine is made of stone? I smiled at him and listened while, believing in my doubt. I laid it down reluctantly and feigned a happy shout. I sat alone in darkened room and felt a shadow's night. Another came to share with me some darkness in his life. As I compared my night with his dark possessed a lack, for his was just an evening shade and mine was midnight black. I slowly laid my night time down to help him seek for light. I'll tread my dimming path again when I have made his bright. A troubled soul came to my door, a problem to confide. I had a problem too that day. It was hard for me to hide. My problem was a mountain steep, and his was just a hill. My problem was an ocean wide, and his was just a rill. Yet, is my lot to fill his need and put mine on the shelf. For I must lay my heartache down and hide it from myself. He told me of a broken heart while mine was breaking too. I told him of a mending God who maketh all things new. He told me of his thirsty soul. I gave him living water. He said he was a broken vase, and I told him of the potter. Another came when I was sick to say he had the flu. His fever was 101 and mine 102. Another came when I was faint to say that he was weak. Another came when I was dumb to say he could not speak. Another weeping seeker came for me his tears to dry. I went alone and wiped my eyes and told him not to cry. Another came when I was tired to say he needed rest. I lifted him with weary arms and tried to give him zest. And now it's late and all is gone, each one to his abode. So I must find my problems and regain my heavy load. Where is the burden I had borne? I had it while ago. Where is the problem I must solve? I left it here. I know. Where is the darkness I once knew? I only now see light. The chains, the tears, the pains, the fears.
are nowhere now in sight. I cannot find my broken heart. Where is my fevered brow? I have a song. The tears are gone. I cannot find them now. My sickness now hath turned to health, and trust replaces fright. Assurance covers all my doubts. My darkness now is light. I heard the voice from heaven say, my child, is always true. When you take care of others' needs, I will take care of you. Are you grown tonight? Are you mature tonight? Are you the kind of Christian that goes to someone who has offended you and tries to make it right? It's time to grow up. It's time for petty peeves and petty arguments and petty strife to be laid at the foot of the cross and realize that he whom you crucified said, forgive him. He knows not what he does. Him in whose hands you drove nails and whose body you pierced with a spear and in whose feet you drove the spikes and on whose brow you pulled the crown of thorns down. He forgave you. The perfect one forgave you who are imperfect. The righteous one forgave you who are unrighteous. The deity forgave flesh. It's time that flesh forgave each other.
And then I say it again. Not only is it a sign of spiritual maturity for you to forgive those who have attacked you. And I say this, you know it's true. These men on the platform know it's true. Our college students know it's true. You know it's true. I have enemies with the thousands. I have critics with the tens of thousands. But there is not one thing in this heart tonight against anybody in the whole world. Not one. Not one. Now, I'm simply saying, well, you say, how do you do it? Your Savior did it.
He who never sinned, whose tongue never spake a word that was wrong to speak, whose eyes never looked upon that which was wrong to see, whose ears never heard that which was wrong to hear, whose feet never walked the path that it was wrong to walk, whose mind never had a thought that was wrong to think, whose heart never had a motive that was wrong to have. He forgave you. Bless God. If he can forgive me, I dead sure can forgive those who are against me.
It's time to grow up. I said it's time to grow up. Some of you folks have been in this church 40 years. You're still 3 years old. Still in the kindergarten. Still have grudges. And still retaliate. Still have seek revenge. And still want vengeance. The apostle said to the Hebrew Christians, you're still down there in the kindergarten talking about the basics, the spelling, the addition and subtraction. It's time you got the spiritual geometry. It's time you got the spiritual algebra. It's time you got the spiritual trigonometry. It's time you grew up. What's the first sign of maturity? First sign is you being right. Seek reconciliation with those who have done you wrong. Second sign is you who have the heavier burden are supposed to help carry the burden of those that have the lighter burden. Look, this fellow with 200 in Sunday school can't help me. This college student, 19 years old, has got oversleeping syndrome. He can't help me. He's never had a load like this. But I've been to college. I can help him. I've had 200 in Sunday school. I can help. By the way, years ago, in Garland, Texas, I had a doctor in my church. I had several of them, but one doctor, I could give his name, I better not. He discovered he had cancer. Terminal cancer. I went to visit him and I heard about it. He was not at home. I asked his wife where he was. She says, down at the office. I went to the office. That doctor was sitting there in his office examining people that had the flu when he was dying with cancer. That doctor was absolutely helping people to get over their sore throats when he had terminal cancer. That's what I'm talking about. It's time that the great First Baptist Church of Hammond be composed of great people. It's time that the growing First Baptist Church of Hammond be composed of growing people. Away with bitterness.
Away with the kindergarten. Yeah, if you got saved last Sunday, I'm not talking to you, but I got folks who have been saved 10, 15, 20, 25 years. You still have grudges. You still hate somebody. You're still not right with somebody. Grow up. It's time to grow.
Then the third sign that I give tonight, and last one, is this. The stronger gives in to the weaker. The Bible never says, love those you hate. The Bible knows a fellow who hates is not likely to love. It says, love those that hate you. The Bible never says, bless those you curse. It says, bless those that curse you. See, the Bible comes to the stronger one and says, you bless those who curse you. And you love those who hate you. And you give in to the weaker one. The Bible never says, pray for those you despitefully use. It says, pray for those that despitefully use you. Now, you preacher boys are about to go out to a jungle. And believe me, it's a jungle out there. You say, what do you mean? You got wild animals? No, you got wild deacons. But you're about to go out to a jungle. And you're going and before you get your degree, grow up. And every time somebody says something to you, don't pop off in the pulpit against them. It's your job to take these weaker people and make them stronger. It's your job to take these suffering people and lift their burden. But you say for the house, I've got a bigger load than they have. If that's the case, then you've had their load. They can't help you because they've never had your load, and you're not going out there to try to get people to help you. You're going out there to help people. So God turns the smitten, to the cursed, to the hated, and says, you're the strong ones, and the only hope for peace. So when you grow in grace, be ready. Some strange things are about to happen. You're going to be asked as you grow older in the Lord to seek reconciliation from those who've done you wrong. You're going to be asked to help those whose burdens are less than yours. You're going to be asked to give in to your adversaries.
What do you say, Brother Howe, if I comfort those that have smaller burdens than I, and if I seek reconciliation of those who've done wrong against me, and if I give in to those who are weak, who's going to help me?
If the world when you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in His Word how He feeds the little bird, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. I go to my office and every pastor who's a man who's ever pastored knows what I'm talking about. Brother Smith knows what I'm talking about. I go to my office and here's a person across from me and he gives me his little pigeon problem. And I want to say to him, you rascal, you ought to know the load that I'm carrying. But wait a minute. The fact that I can bench press 400 spiritual pounds means that I also have been bench pressed 100 spiritual pounds. So since I know what load he has to carry, I can tell him what I did when I had that load. But he can't help me. But there is one who carried a bigger load than I carry. And that's my Savior, about whom the choir sang a while ago. There's no burden that I have that He's not borne, no sorrow that I have that He's not known, no load that I've carried that He has not carried, no tears that I've shed that He has not shed, no heartache I've had that has not pierced His own heart. He understands and He knows. So it's my job as a mature Christian to reconcile to those that have wronged me, to comfort those who have less burdens than I have, and to give in to those who are weaker than I am. Just like the doctor in Garland, Texas, who was helping people get over sore throats while he was dying with cancer. ask a question. Are you still in kindergarten? I wrote one of my enemies not long ago. I made mention to college about this last Tuesday. I'm not his enemy. I'm not anybody's enemy. None. Some preacher wrote, called me on the phone. He said, Dr. Howes, is it true that you said that David Gibbs didn't fire his son and Attorney Crees? You were going to destroy David Gibbs? And I said, you listen carefully to me. I have never tried to destroy anybody. Nor do I have any plans to try to destroy anybody. Never. Preacher called me and he said to the house, this certain preacher? Well, I wrote a fella who, he's my enemy, I'm not his. And I said to him, I want to be your friend. We may not preach with each other. We may not be close to each other. But I want to be your friend. He wrote back and he said, friendship is a two-way street. I wrote back and said, no, it isn't. Friendship is a one-way street. And I said, you got yourself a friend whether you like it or not. I can't make you love me, but you can't keep me from loving you. I can't make you my friend, but bless God, you can't keep me from being your friend. No way in the world. So I'm simply saying it's time that some folks grew up. How about you? Three things I never quite understood as a kid preacher. I mentioned tonight. Why is the guy who's right supposed to initiate reconciliation? And why is the fellow who has the heavier burden? I was thinking about Tom down here. Brother Tom Williams. That man's carried a burden for 20 years about the lack of which few men in America have carried. And you Howells Anderson boys will come to him and say, can I counsel with you? And God bless him. He'll do it. But sometimes you'd like to kick him in the pains. Sure you would. Because you're worldly and you're just a baby in the Lord. Sure he would. But he goes ahead and does it. I watched Dr. Lee Robertson come to our college. 90 years old. And when he walks now, he holds on to your arm as he walks with you. And yet, our preacher boys go and say, Dr. Robertson, I got a problem. I made a D- in world history. Shoot, when I was in school, I'd have been happy to get a D- in world history. That's one of my better grades. And Dr. Robertson helps you. Why? Because he's mature. That's why I love it. I probably shouldn't say this, but there's so many things I say I probably shouldn't say. Young folks back here, you're still talking. Listen carefully to me. I hesitate to say this, but I've gone too far now, and you can't sleep tonight because curiosity will keep you awake. Since I don't want you to sleep anyway, I'm not going to tell you what it is. Most of you get enough sleep now. I think about Chris Grafton. Chris Grafton spends her life trying to keep our college students well and trying to keep me well. I told the students the other day, she's shot my arm full of holes. That's the only place she can shoot me. But she tries to keep me well. But what folks don't understand is she probably has an illness that's worse than 90% of the people that come in her office. But that's the way it's supposed to be. That's Bible. The doctor, terminal cancer, ministering to those who have sore throats. And the pastor, with a load too heavy to bear, carrying some little load not near as heavy as his. And Dr. Tom Williams,
an unbelievable burden all these years, helping folks to carry their load. That's what it's all about. Ask your questions tonight, and I'll be through. Three questions. Each question is about 10 minutes long. Ask your question tonight, and I'll be through. Question number one. Has there anybody done you wrong?
If he'll come, I'll ask me, I'll forgive him.
Your rattler is making noise. Your little birds flying over your bed are making noise. Your milk in your baby bottle needs to be filled again.
But if you come and if you ask forgiveness, I will.
I'm saying you're on your ABCs.
Now, if you just got saved, that's one thing. But good night, some of you folks been saved 25 years.
Still wearing spiritual diapers. Number two, I ask you, are you carrying the burdens of those who have lighter burdens than you? Huh? Ask a question. Are you giving in to those who would hurt you? Are you loving those who hate you? Are you praying for those that despitefully use you? Are you blessing those that curse you? I'm through now, but I think it'd be a tragic shame for a person to spend years in First Baptist Church of Hammond, the greatest church, I think, from the face of the earth and maybe in the history of this country, and maybe since Jerusalem. It'd be a tragic shame for you to be in this great church and still be wearing booties and be on a bottle, still eating pablum, still eating Gerber's. It's time you start eating Del Monte, Green Giant, Big Macs, quarter pounders with cheese, Whoppers, Whopper Juniors minus mayonnaise plus mustard. It's time you start eating. That's another question. How long has it been since you gave him? Huh? It's time to grow up. Would you bow your heads, please? So our Heavenly Father, we've tried again to help our dear people. What I said tonight is about what Paul said to the Corinthians.